Welcome to the Law Firm Accounting and Tax Podcast, powered by Jetro. Each week, we bring extremely valuable accounting and tax tips specific to law firm owners. You will be on your way to growing your practice and putting more money in your pockets. Here's your host.
Well, welcome back, small business owners. Today, we have two very special guests on the podcast. We have Nick Urso and Jeff Van Kampen from UVK Media Marketing. Jeff graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee with a degree in Industrial Manufacturing Engineering, otherwise known as Process Engineering. Jeff is no stranger to how small business operate. Both of his parents are entrepreneurs and have been for over 40 years. They have run their own printing business. In his previous job, Jeff took an account management role managing over 90 accounts and multiple contractors for each account. Although he found this fulfilling, he found that helping small businesses improve their bottom line made him feel most impactful. Jeff believes that anyone can run a successful business around their passions by installing the correct business principles and assuring they have the necessary systems in place. Welcome, Jeff.
Appreciate you, Mike.
And Nick graduated also from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee with a degree in Industrial Manufacturing Engineering, otherwise known as Process Engineering. Nick has worked at several known local companies such as Harley-Davidson, Rockwell Automation, as a quality engineer. As a quality engineer, he used statistical analysis to save the companies thousands of dollars. However, over time, working as an engineer was not quite as fulfilling as it once was. Therefore, Nick quit his job and found his passion helping small business owners exponentially grow their businesses. Welcome, Nick.
Appreciate you having us on, Mike.
Awesome. Well, I'm really excited to have you guys on today. As mentioned, our podcast is mostly small business owners. So the passion that you guys have for a small business and growing up in a small business family is something I think is very beneficial to our listeners. So I kind of just wanted to get started. Give me a little background about what you guys have going on, what you're doing, so that our audience knows, you know, a little bit about where your experience is and where you're helping other small businesses.
Definitely. A little bit about us. We run a digital marketing agency. We mainly specialize in lead generation and content marketing, so creating videos that businesses can use on their website, social media, even email campaigns to get their name out there and really build their brands and business.
Okay.
Yeah, so I wanted to let Nick kind of start out too. So Nick actually went full-time with the business in about April of 2018, and then ever since then, you know, it's been a lot of, first 6 months was like really heavily like learning all the different marketing techniques, because, you know, it's 2019, you know, there's hundreds of different guys out there that are trying to sell you their secret formula, mm-hmm. or what marketing strategy is going to be the most effective. But what you really need to do is just do a lot of like testing, like, you know, trial and error, figuring out what works. So for the first, I would say, 4 to 5 months, even before I came on board, Nick spent a lot of time just learning the systems, you know, what are current marketers doing, what's working, and what can we use to apply to where we want to take the business. And then, you know, I ended up, you know, and in June of last year, putting in my time and my job. I gave him a 4 month notice because I was managing so many accounts. And then over the next 4 months, Nick and I continued to grow the business. He continued to educate me in what he was learning during the day, in the after hours of the night, when I would go over to his house or to his apartment. And then when I went full time in October, that's when we really kind of just tripled down on just like selling and just starting to like grow our business and figure out what marketing techniques are we going to be using and how are we going to use those to effectively grow these small businesses that we're going to work with. And yeah, it's pretty interesting. We kind of just found ourselves in like a little bit of a niche. We niched ourselves into like the fitness space right away. And then we eventually kind of like, we're kind of still in the fitness space. We definitely work with gyms and stuff like that, but we're more so like in the health space now.
Okay.
So it's like fitness and chiropractors, soft tissue specialists. So really anyone that's in like the healthcare industry, if you will, we really kind of resonated with and found like a little bit of like an entry point in.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sure 100% where that's going to be long term. Like long term, we hopefully build some bigger partnerships. But for right now, it's kind of just been our immediate focus, if you will. Just figuring out what these gyms and these business owners really need and becoming like the experts, you know. And that way we can just go around and kind of say, hey, you know, we've helped this business do this, that, and the other. We think we can help you too. That's kind of how we've structured our business for right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, what's kind of unique about that, I didn't know that about you guys kind of being in the health and fitness mm-hmm. space, but our firm also, is somewhat niched in the health and fitness space.
Okay.
Nice.
About probably 25% of our client base is within that industry. So that's kind of unique.
Small world. That's awesome.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, the process of sales and marketing, the end result never really changes. So you're always just trying to get a client to come in the door. You talk to that client. You lead them as an actual client. But the aspects of how you get from the start to finish are obviously things that are changing. There's so many different ways to do it. As far as marketing in 2019, what are some of those strategies that you think are maybe revolutionizing or changing now in 2019? Or what do you look at as marketing in 2019 like?
Yeah, I think we can both touch on this. I think I would start a little bit about what me and you talked about in a previous conversation is that it's definitely shifted from more of a push system to a pull system. And what I mean by that is that, you know, and this goes for sales and marketing. You know, for sales, it used to be really, really pushy, go in the door and push your way through, you know, force the sale on people, where now people aren't buying on that kind of stuff. They're buying based on their own decision and discretion. So they're basically looking at all these different opportunities of where they can place their money or where they can buy a product or service, and they're evaluating them based on who's going to provide them the value that they need. And so the internet has really shifted that, because you now have the opportunity to go on the internet and evaluate all these different businesses before you make a decision. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's super important to understand that it's not so pushy anymore. It's all about like getting in front of your consumer and telling the story that resonates with them and allowing them to make the decision that they want to make for themselves. And so that's where the pull comes in. So if you run advertisements nowadays, you know, on like a Facebook feed, that's known as like a pull, because the consumer is making the decision to click through on your Facebook ad. You know, that's the pull system versus you going to someone and forcing a sale down their throat. Mm-hmm. So that's like a pretty big like macro of how I think marketing has shifted a lot over the last 5 or 10 years. I think Nick could probably add a lot more to that too.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think right now marketing and sales have been blending together. They're kind of one and the same. Like Jeff said, you can go and shop around at all these different businesses. You have the internet at your fingertips, so it's really easy to get access to everything. So it's really about knowing how to get somebody to take action, right? So you have people, you got to know what audience you're speaking to. You know, a lot of businesses we talk to are very heavily reliant on referrals from other people in their company. And, you know, referrals are really a hot audience if you think about it. Because if Jeff, my friend Jeff, is telling me that, man, you should really go check out this gym, I have a lot of trust in Jeff. So when Jeff gives me that reference, I'm very likely to go into that gym and check it out. Mm-hmm. But if I'm marketing to somebody online that I have no sort of contact with, they don't even know who I am, I can't go and pitch them a sale right away. That's like, you know, going into a mall, standing on top of a table, and then yelling out a deal to try and get people to buy your product. Like, people have, like, they don't know anything about you. You haven't provided them any sort of value, and you're trying to close them right then and there. Mm-hmm. So there really takes, you really have to have some processes and systems in place to where, you know, you can provide value to people up front. So it gets people to take action because you're providing them value. It's warming people up to you. And then you have to really nurture that relationship to get to the point where you can ask for a sale. So it's really, there's a ton of different ways to go about it. It's really business specific and kind of where your business goals and where you currently are. Mm-hmm. You can reverse engineer different systems to do that, but I would say it's really being aware of who you're speaking to and how you have to bridge the gap to get them to make a sale. And I think that's basically the base of marketing and sales right now.
Yeah, and that makes sense. So I mean, to me that sounds like it's more of a slow play type role is mm-hmm. when you're going from a push to pull. That route is much more slow play.
Definitely.
Now, when you talk about creating value for potential clients or just the general public, Do you do that in a form of video? Do you do that in a form of an ebook, or is it a combination of a bunch of different things?
Yeah, I think it's a combination. I think one thing that I say a lot, him and I talk about a lot, is that I don't think there's really one exact answer to marketing in 2019. I don't think that just making videos for your organization is going to drive sales. I think if you make videos and you have a good sales funnel and you have a good sales team and you have a good internal structure for how you're kind of like taking care of all of that, I think that will grow your business. But in terms of like the actual like systems, I just think that you really need to have a lot of different things put in place. So the one thing that you really need is this, that's the sales funnel. And so back to kind of like what your question is, you can provide value either in the business awareness phase or the brand awareness phase. So we're in a space right now and for where they're in the brand awareness phase, right? So they have a big enough business now that they just needed to have their brand start to be spread amongst the marketplace. So you can basically utilize these modern day sales funnels in a couple different ways. So if you're a small business, you can provide value in the form of offerings. So if you're a chiropractor, you could run a marketing campaign that gave away $23 vouchers to potential new consumers, and that price point is going to entice them to come into the office, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a bigger chiropractic company, you don't necessarily need to get people in the door to like, you know, grow and live. You can do a little bit more of a brand awareness strategy. You can just market a lot and put budgeting towards market all the time just to keep your business, like your brand, aware in the marketplace so that when Nick thinks of chiropractic or Mike thinks of chiropractic, the first person we think about is the chiropractic company because they've been marketing so much all the time. It's kind of like Coca-Cola. Like you don't see Coke saying on your news feed saying, Mike, here's a $5 or a 50 cent Coca-Cola. Like they just provide advertisement.
Yeah.
So that when you want a soda, the first company you think about is Coca-Cola. So it's like a little bit different and dependent on where the business is at entirely. If they're a little bit bigger and structured, obviously they just want to keep the awareness consistent. If they're a little bit smaller, like it's kind of like a startup phase, then you need to drive that foot traffic. Then you're going to want to do some sort of offering that's going to entice people to make a decision to come to your business over your competitors, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So kind of with going on that same line, you know, most of our listeners are probably in that smaller business
Sure.
where they have to create that offer.
Yeah.
But when you talk about branding, as a small business owner, most of the time it's coming back to the individual that's the owner. That owner's kind of the head of the
Definitely.
The marketing piece. So, you know, how does one start a personal brand, and do you recommend having a personal brand that's attached to a business? So you might have a business
For
name,
sure.
but the personal brand would be the owner.
Oh, I love this one. So I think that this is, Nick can add some of this too, but I think that personal branding is, like right now in marketing 2019, I think personal branding is dominating. It's because people are first and foremost buying from people, right? So if you even look at, a weird example is Geico. They've personified their brand by having the gecko. So they've used that Geico gecko as a personal brand without you even recognizing it, because the gecko has its own personality amongst their organization. And so for me, it's like, especially with how social media is like optimized, and like Facebook business pages are not receiving the attention that they once were. In fact, I think that we actually talked the other day, there's a statistic that if you post on your Facebook business page, only about 10% of the people that even like your page are even going to be shown that post.
Interesting.
Because Facebook doesn't think that you want to see business related stuff. They think you want to see friends and family stuff. So they would rather show you personal content over business content.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's one thing that we talk about like a lot for any businesses, that I think personal branding is huge. And I think that if you're going to be doing a lot of like posting on your business page, at a minimum, you should have some person designated to kind of be the brand anchor. So if you're going to be posting on your business page, Mike should have his own personality built into that. You don't want to just flood your page with service offerings and products and stuff like that. It needs to be personified
mm-hmm.
because people are going to resonate with that. That's kind of what he talked about before, is that you really need to figure out what your ideal audience wants to see. But almost every time, that's going to be something in the form of emotion that's given to you from a person.
And I feel like now people are... It's always been this way. People buy from people, you know. So you posting a bunch of stuff on your business page that's not really getting seen by all that many eyes. I mean, realistically, everybody who's seeing your post on their business page have liked your business page, which probably means that they've already done business with you or know you already. So you're not really getting out in front of new people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing like a personal brand and you're creating content by association, people are going to dig in. If they're interested, they're going to dig into what you do, and they're going to know that, you know, for us, that we run a marketing business. I don't have to talk specifically about marketing, but if I'm putting out content that people resonate with and they like me as a person, they're going to, by association, learn that I do marketing. Mm-hmm. So it's not as, again, it's not as pushy of a sale. It's just right. showing up every day so you can stay on top of people's minds.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, as you're kind of working with businesses in that area, let's say you have a personal brand, whether it's a chiropractor or a marketing business, as you guys, it's kind of that personal brand. Do you ever find that as you bring on a client and they start to work with maybe another associate that's not that owner and not that brand, so maybe it's they're working with some of your staff, or if it's a chiropractor, they're working with an associate chiropractor, do you find that there's ever kind of a kickback from the client saying, you know, everything I saw was this guy, but now I'm working with this guy, is, you know, when you do the personal brand,
right? Yeah. I personally have actually never, like, seen that. I'm sure there's been definitely instances of that where, like, I've, you know, maybe someone goes into the business and said, I only want to work with this guy because mm-hmm. I've seen his content. I'm sure that definitely has occurred. That never really crossed my mind as of late. I think more so it's just, like to Nick's point, it's just definitely more like the business awareness. I think the quickest way for anyone to develop a B2B relationship online through a personal brand is to put out relevant content to your ideal client without ever referencing your product or services, because what's going to happen is humans are going to resonate with the struggles that other humans go through. So if I put out content related to, like, my struggles, it's going to be resonate with that business owner. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what attracts the clients in the door a lot of the time, because we're not necessarily saying, you know, as a chiropractor, only talk about you doing adjustments with people. You know, I want to hear the story of why you're into chiropractic, on how you got there, what the struggles of getting there, some of the ups and downs with working with patients. And by default, that's going to resonate with me as a human that also has ups and downs. And that might attract me to come do business with you because we just resonate. We definitely have had instances where people show up and say, like, you know, I feel like I already, like, know you guys because I've seen a lot of your content, mm-hmm. you know, and that's really what the goal is for people to build trust in you without ever having met you before. Yeah. And that's really, like, the whole goal with that. But it's a super interesting question that you bring up, though, about, like, I've seen this guy's content and I really only want to work with him. I'm sure that does happen, honestly.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and I think it might, you know, might have, some of it might be is in the sales process, whether you're communicating that. You know, we get it a lot of times. Someone will come, you know, we're talking about this potential client, and they say, so are you going to be the person I'm directly working with? And I say, well, we kind of work as a team. So,
right.
You know, I tell them up front that, yeah, you might be working with me, but you're also going to be working with multiple members of our team. It's not just going to be me. And so I think that's, if I told that person up front, you're only going to be working with me, and then they get in and realize that there's a whole team that they're talking to, I think that's a different feeling that they might have after that.
Yeah, and I think as long as you're transparent and say, you know, like, yeah, you may have seen me on the front end, but, like, yeah, this is, like, the whole structure. It's kind of like Gruber Law Offices. You're not going to go to Gruber Law Offices and sit down with Gruber.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? but you know that's who you're going to see every time.
Yeah.
That's kind of the deal.
That's a really good example.
Yeah.
So when it comes to marketing, why do businesses and people need to deploy consistency?
I mean, if you just look at the digital age right now, there's no barrier of entry for people to be putting out content. So content is just a flooded stream every single day. So it's really like you're renting attention every single day, because if you don't post, the next guys are. And I don't think you can really I don't think you can post too much. There's so much content out there, and not everybody who even follows you on any of your platforms is going to see your content that you post. Like, you know, so if I have a big following on Instagram and I make a post, only a small percentage of people are going to see that follow me currently. Mm-hmm. And then I can post again, and another small percentage of people are going to do that. So you can post over and over and over again and still not necessarily hit everybody who even follows you. So there is a point that you have to just consistently put out content. Like, you have to stay on top of people's minds, because somebody else out there is putting out content that is now kind of erasing their memory of your last post.
Yep.
So you have to, like, establish an omnipresence on all these different social media platforms to catch people at the right time and just, like, stay relevant. And it's a lot of work, and, like, for small business owners, that's definitely a struggle, because most of them are owner-operators. So, you know, you're spending a lot of time just running the business and working in the business, but it's a lot more difficult to stay on top of just allocating time to make content, because it's such an easy thing to overlook. But, you know, it's one way to get out in front of multiple people at one time, and you're only trading a little bit of your time to get out in front of multiple people. Whereas if you're doing one-on-one sales meetings, you're trading that time and you're only getting out in front of one person.
Right.
Obviously, it's a lot more deeper connection with the one-on-one personal aspect, but you can't overlook the power of being able to get out and connect with a ton of people in your local area for only trading a tiny bit of your time to make that content.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's an important thing to remember, is the consistency piece. I think as marketing, you expect instant gratification. And so
right.
You post one post and you're like, why didn't anyone like it? Or why didn't I get anybody reaching out to me from that? And it's that idea behind it.
Yeah.
Nothing comes instant.
For sure.
Especially when it comes to marketing.
Like, just to your point, nothing comes instant in that. It's just the same thing with, like, if you're going to build a business. You know, if you're gonna build a business, you got to show up every day. If you're going to build a personal brand, you got to show up every day. And, like, it's really, like, I truly believe that. Like, I really believe in, like, a lot of people are just trying to, like, put out content that's just, like, absolutely, like, perfect, and it's just, like, so aligned. But, like, I believe that consistency trumps perfection every time,
for sure.
Honestly. Because it's just, like, even if you could spend hours making this perfect piece of content that you think your audience is going to resonate with, and then maybe nobody likes it or nobody comments it, and it's just going to worsen your self-esteem because you've spent so much time on this perfect piece, and the market decided that it wasn't perfect, you know? So you really got to do, like, a lot of consistency. And then once you're consistent enough and you have a big enough base, him and I are big data people. And so what we like to do is use data to figure out, okay, we posted all these pieces of content. Now let's reverse engineer and look at the data of this content, figuring out what's working in our audience. What did people react to and why did they react to that, so that we can create more of that type of content to increase our chances of going viral more often. So that's a way to do it. So I think when you start out, you just got to be putting out a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to allow you to get results on the content, figuring out what's working, and then you can reverse engineer your future content to be more, basically higher ROI positive, if you will.
Yeah, that makes sense. And when it comes to consistency, is there, like, a set number that you say, like, you post every single day, or is there any kind of set number like that? And
yeah.
Do you also ever advise clients or advise a business owner to repost something? So let's say they did a video, 3 months ago. Would you ever advise them to repost that same thing?
I think you can get away with that. Depending on the size of your audience, I think you can get away with that for sure. Because I think, like, to his point earlier, everyone doesn't see every piece of content that you post. So if you post something that did decently well, I think 3 to 6 months down the road, you could probably get away doing it again. I would say, you know, I don't know if there's really, like, a set number per se. I would like to say at least one a day if you're trying to develop a personal brand. But a lot of it's dependent on, like, where your business is at and what your business goals are.
Because
you could get away, even if you're a larger organization, you could get away just creating some really good Facebook ads and just putting money into those ads every single day to have those shown to a new audience.
Yep.
And indirectly, that's your business putting out content, but you're also advertising at the same time. So I guess it really depends on, like, where the business is at and kind of, like, to his point, how much manpower you have too.
Yeah.
But if you're anyone looking to start, like, a personal brand, like, say a business owner's listening to this and they say, I want to start a personal brand, I would suggest starting at, like, minimum one a day on whatever platform that you want to be creating on. So for, like, me, like, I create a lot on LinkedIn. He does a lot of, like, Instagram stuff. He's going to be getting into, like, YouTube. So it's wherever you feel that you resonate with in terms of social, I would try and be at least one a day consistent on that.
And like, to that point, it's more so, like, what time are you willing to put in, and what is going to work for you. Like, Jeff, on one hand, he makes content every single day on the spot, where I do a lot better when I set a time period every week just to create all my content for the next week at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I like batching all my stuff together, because then I can put a little bit of, like, thought and strategy to what content I want to put out next week, and then I have, like, a checklist of everything that I want to go out and create. So it's more like a lot more like process based, where Jeff is like, this is, like, how I'm feeling on the spot, and I'm gonna just, like, document what I'm doing and how I feel and, like, put that out there. So it's, like, really just, like, being self-aware and knowing, like, yourself and, like, what's gonna work for you. And I think there's a lot of things that people use for excuses to, like, not put out content. Like, one is like video quality. Like, everybody has a cell phone. You can get away with just doing everything off your cell phone. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no excuse to, like, oh, I need to have nice camera equipment, nice lighting, nice everything. You just got to do it. And over time, you're going to get better at it. And you're going to start seeing what people resonate with and start knowing what content to start putting out. And that's like, you just got to get going on it. Because mm-hmm. you're going to learn as you go.
It's super fun, too, because when you look back on, like, your first... I mean, I've only been creating consistently for 4 or 5 months. And even looking back on my first couple of videos, like, it's night and day compared to where I was now. You know, like I'm decent in front of the camera, but, like, in terms of, like, you just get better at, like, structuring your message, you know? And, like, once you make content long enough, you develop, like, a series of values that you constantly touch on. So, for, like, me, I talk a lot about marketing. I talk a lot about business mindset. I talk a lot about sales. So, like, but, like, those weren't things that I just sat down and decided I was going to talk about. That's just, like, for me naturally documenting what him and I are doing, that's just the content that's come out of it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, like, with his point, whatever works for you, whether that's sitting down and just knocking a bunch of stuff out or being more, like, on the spot, whatever works for you, just, like, whatever, like I said, whatever works to help you be, like, consistent, just do that.
Yeah, no, I think that's great information. So, you know, what we've been talking about is personal brand, marketing side, but I want... you go a little bit deeper into lead generation, and I think that there's a lot of business owners that might not be advanced in marketing.
Definitely.
They're like, what is lead generation? So what would be kind of your viewpoint on what lead generation is for a business?
Definitely. So lead generation, I would say it's about getting customer opportunities. It's about filling your pipeline with at least contact information to get a hold of people in order to get them to come into your business. And there's a lot of strategies around it, but essentially what you want to do is you're going to run a little bit of paid ad spend just to get out in front of new eyes. Again, if you're posting on your Facebook feed, your business page, you're only getting out in front of people who like your page, which probably are people you've already had contact with. Whereas if you're running a Facebook ad, you're actually paying to get out in front of an audience that you determine, so say a mile radius around your business, you can run an ad to. So you're gonna get in front of all these new eyes. And what you wanna do is run some sort of offer that is both gonna qualify and incentivize a person to fill out their contact information so you can get back out in front of them at a later time. So like Jeff said before previously, like if we're working with a chiropractor and they run a voucher for an adjustment, an exam and x-rays for say $30, say something that's just like almost too good to pass up. Well, that's like an offer that's going to qualify people. If they're interested in that, they probably have back pain, neck pain, whatever's going on. So they're going to see that ad, they'll click on it, read through everything. Sweet, that sounds like a good deal. They'll fill out their contact information, say phone, name, email. And now since they submit that, you email them a voucher, a digital voucher for that deal. But now you have their email and their phone number. So you can follow up with them via phone call to get them to come in for that adjustment. Or you have their email. So now you can email to them without spending any additional ad spend to get back out in front of them. So yeah. Once you capture that email, you can start nurturing them and start warming them up to you and your business, because right at the start of everything, they were a cold consumer to you. They didn't know about you. They didn't know who you were. You offered them a very incentivizing deal to jump on, and they filled out their email. But now you can hit them with an email series that starts warming them up to you and your business and why you got into your business. And it's just, you know, it's unbelievable when a lot of businesses do not have an email list, because it's free marketing. It doesn't cost you anything to send out an email. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, you know, otherwise you got to just keep spending out an ad spend to get out in front of new people. So it's really about finding a right offer to get out in front of people, to like actually get them to take action on and capture contact information. There's like a lot of times we see people run Facebook ads and link straight back to their website where there's no direct call to action. There's no way for somebody to capture their contact information. So from the consumer standpoint, they see the ad, click through, get on their website, and they're just like digging around, and then they leave the website. And now you just spent money to get out in front of this consumer, and you never captured any sort of contact information to get back out in front of them again. So you're really just wasting your ad spend. So like that's how I would consider a lead, is someone who is interested in an offer that relates to your service, and again, getting that contact information. And I'd say that is like a pretty qualified lead for most businesses.
Yeah, so you have kind of this offer, grab information, and then it just doesn't stop there. I mean, they're going to have their free offer, whatever they got from that, but then it's emails that are constantly going out that are, again, just kind of building that, whether it's personal brand or company brand, whatever.
Yeah, it's building trust, driving awareness for sure. Yeah, and I think if you've ever gone on Facebook and like, post something and then you go back on Facebook and it says this post is doing better and it wants you to boost the post, that's Facebook's just like way him and I think of totally just stealing people's money, because when you boost the post, there's no actual like back end targeting of who you're showing that post to. You'll just put money into it and Facebook will be like, oh, you've 1600 people have seen this post. But back to his point too, if you're gonna pay money for advertising in any manner, you want to own as much traffic as possible, because you really have traffic you own and traffic you don't own. So you have people that are your followers that you don't have to pay to get out in front of, people that are on your email sequences that you don't have to pay to get out in front of, you can just email them. And then you have cold people who you have no idea who they are and they have no idea who you are. Mm-hmm. So when you're paying money to get out in front of those cold people, at a minimum, you're trying to convert them into people that you own, either meaning you have an email or they follow you on some sort of social. And that's like really, if you're going to pay money to advertise, you really want to be making sure that you're capturing as much as possible, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, kind of the thought process of setting up a lead page that collects information and then funneling that into producing the offer, whether that's an in office visit or it's some online product of some sort, and then moving to emailing. For a typical small business owner, that sounds obviously extremely complicated. Is there software out there? Is there a piece of way that even a relatively small business owner could build out a funnel like that or a lead generation setup?
So for a local business to figure out what that system looks like, what I would suggest doing is find another industry player that is successful and start digging in to see if they have any funnels themselves running. With sales funnels, it takes a lot of trial and error and optimizing to get them to the point where it's running at a profitable return on investment or return on ad spend.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that you can shortcut that process is find someone who's already has a successful funnel in your industry, because they've probably already done a lot of the optimizing and trial and error to figure out what works.
Yeah.
So if you see somebody running, in your industry, you've been running the same ad for a really long time, that's probably a good indicator that that's working for them. Otherwise, they wouldn't be wasting money on it.
Right.
So then what you can do is figure out how they're structuring it. Like, say if they're, selling some sort of like pills, and they have a funnel set up where, hey, we'll give you a pill or we'll give you a bottle for $2, and then you sign up for it. Like, you should actually go through and sign up for their funnels too, and like even spend money on it if you have to.
Yeah.
Because a lot of things about sales funnels is it's not just what you see. You're only seeing the tip of the iceberg. A lot of what actually makes a funnel successful is all the back end systems after they collect your contact information and after you spend money with them, because they have a lot of upsells and email follow-ups and text follow-ups and just a ton of follow-ups to get you to buy more product and get you deeper in their value ladder. And a value ladder is something that you should definitely structure when getting into a sales funnel. And what a value ladder is it's breaking down your services and offerings into, say you have a graph where the x-axis is value and the y-axis is cost. So you figure out what service is the least amount of cost and provides a little bit of value. That's a good place to start as a bait and like front end offer. And then when people sign up for that bait and front end offer, you want to take them and try and push them onto the next service that is going to be a little bit of a higher cost, but provide them more value.
Okay.
And so you want to have systems in place to kind of push them up this value ladder to keep taking on the next product or service that's going to provide them more value at a higher cost.
Mm-hmm.
And what allows you to do is when you're running these funnels, you really get to see who are going to be your ideal customers. Like your ideal customers is going to buy your highest end service or offering at the highest cost. And as people move through this value ladder, they're going to drop off at each step. There's going to be people dropping off at each step, and you're going to have marketing campaigns at each step to push them onto the next step.
Mm-hmm.
So someone takes a bait offer that is, you know, something that's going to provide them value and it's really cheap. They hop on that, sweet, I got one bottle of pills, and now you push them to the next level where, all right, maybe, you know, we can get them on like a monthly subscription. It's going to provide more value and it's a little bit higher of a cost. So some people might jump on that monthly subscription, sweet, you keep moving them up. Some people are going to only take the bait offer and then fall off on jumping on that monthly subscription. So then you can remarket to those people since you already have their contact information, emails, and phone numbers. Now you can remarket to them with different offers to try and get them to take that next step on getting that monthly subscription. So, you know, and it goes back to like nurturing. You really get people to opt in, but then you have to like nurture them and grow them because everybody's at a different different point in the buying process and just mm-hmm. different mindsets. So there's a lot that goes into it, but you can make it a lot more difficult than it needs to be. Really, you got to break it down to what does your consumer want? How can you offer a little sliver of what value you can provide to them for a very low cost or for free to just start getting them to opt in? And it's really, you know, you're the business owner and you definitely know what people's struggles and problems are. So you just reverse engineer, like, how can you help these people for free or as cheap as possible just to get at least a first point of contact with them?
Yeah, well, I think that's unique too, is that, you know, most people think, well, I'll just put an ad out that's not targeting anyone, like you mentioned, that's going to their website, and they say, well, that's easy, so that's what they're going to do, but they don't realize that it's actually easier to set up a system like this
right. That
is creating a lead generation where they're then nurturing those leads with emails and follow-ups.
Definitely.
Because you're not having to spend as much, you're not having to do as much legwork up front putting the ads together.
And I think a small portion of doing any sort of advertisement is the actual front end ad. I think what happens behind that ad is almost more important than what happens in the actual ad itself. Because like realistically, the only thing you're trying to do in the ad is tell a story in a way that resonates with your consumer and their current life, and then to all the things he just touched on, that all happens in the back end. Once they're able to commit, then you can start getting these emails going out and you can get them in your system and you can get that first point of contact to nurture them to actually become a client, obviously.
Right.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to creating content, creating marketing, various different funnels, things like that, you know, how big of a role does video come into that? Do you think that clients should always be on video? Do you think that they should be doing a lot of more so ebooks and things like that, or what have you seen experience on that?
I think if you're going to do like any sort of like personal branding, I think video is the best place to start, because video, you can do so much in a video. So if we kind of reverse this, if me and you were to just have a texting conversation, that's one level of communication. But if we were to switch that to a phone call, that's a whole nother level. We can talk about so much more in that phone call than we can in those 50 text messages. And we can hear each other's voice and get to know each other. And the same goes true for video. So now if me and you hop on a Zoom call, now we can see each other. So now we can get all that done, the phone call, but now we can also see each other. And so when you're putting out video, you're not only being able to tell your story in a way that people can see and visualize, but people can actually feel you. Like, they can actually get to know who you are through that video. Comes back to the point where we've met with people and say, people, like, I already feel like I know you guys because I've seen so much of your content, you know. So for like personal branding, video is huge. We've run advertisements that have been the creative piece of it. The photo or video has been a picture and seen success doing that. But I would say almost every time video will trump photo if the video is properly done.
definitely.
And I think this is kind of like getting into like the story piece of everything too. I think a lot of people, when they think about marketing their business, I'll continue to use chiropractors as an example because that's just who we worked with a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When you say, when you, you know, get them on camera and they want to talk about their business, what they want to talk about and what they think is going to sell are things such as, I have 500 hours of additional education. I help people ages from 40 to 50 or from 40 to 80, or my office is different because, when in reality, none of that sells because the consumer doesn't care about you. They care about themselves. And so the mistake that a lot of people are making when they market is they position themselves, the business owner positions themselves as the hero, and they're not the hero. The business owner is the guide helping the hero, who is the consumer, on the hero's story. So each consumer, everyone has their own story, and everyone has their own hero's process. And so the guide, aka the business owner, needs to take that, the consumer, the hero, where they want to go. It's kind of like, you know, like in the Star Wars series, like Yoda is always the guide to Luke Skywalker. Yoda's never the hero. Luke's the hero in the story because he's trying to get what he wants to do. But Yoda is his guide in helping him get there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how business owners should look at their business, how they want to market. Business owners should not present themselves as the hero. They need to position themselves as the guide, and the consumer needs to be the hero. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so in that example with the chiropractor where mm-hmm. you know, he thought, let's talk about all my years of experience,
yep.
how great our office is, and how great I am.
Definitely.
What would be an example of just kind of one scenario where they flipped that around and changed it from what he thought would be marketing to what was actually successful?
Yeah, and I think bringing in like a lot of like past experiences. So a lot of what marketing is, it's breaking down current belief systems. So if you're a chiropractor, you could tell your story about how your first experience with chiropractic. Like, I was worried about going to chiropractic. I was worried about getting my back cracked. How's it going to help? And then I went on this journey of discovering chiropractic. And then, you could, like, at that point, he's kind of, like, talking about how he got guided in his story. So that's just, like, one example of how, like, a professional, like, one could talk about their own story. But then it's nice to bring in the stories of different consumers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we, as a good example, you know, we worked with a video where we made a series of videos with an organization where, you know, this gal and her son struggled with a little bit of, like, autism and stuff like that. And, you know, through chiropractic care, he was able to see a lot more focus in his life and a lot more focus in school and have a lot better, like, conversations with his classmates and his teachers and stuff like that. And just through chiropractic care, it wasn't about the hours of that the chiropractor had. It was about how he literally changed someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
It was talking about somebody else's story and how he was able to take them from a spot in their life where there was frustration and struggle to a point where they're doing a lot better, they're happier, they're functioning better. And that's a better story to tell in terms of marketing than I have 500 hours of experience.
Yeah.
You know, so relating it back to like how you've literally fixed people's problems, right? Because
mm-hmm.
everyone's paying each other to pay for all the problems. And
I mean, yeah, and a lot of marketing is just pure storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you think about it, communication from back even from caveman's time has been storytelling. So that's like the most efficient way to communicate, and that's why all these movies blow up in the box office, is they have a very good storyline and plot to them, and it draws people in and it gets it grabs their attention. So when you're doing it in a marketing standpoint, you are laying out a storyline that a person can rewrite their own personal story to have you become a part of it. So if you lay it out in the right way and touch on all the emotions that they have with the problems that they're trying to solve, if they read that and it resonates with them, they might go, yeah, you know, Dr. G is my guy, because like that's, he understands me, like that's how I'm feeling right now. Like, I could be his next patient that he fixes, you know? So, like, it's really about laying out that narrative that somebody would be willing to take on, and you paint the picture of what success looks like after they work with you. And it's not so much about, like, I'm the best and I, like, have all these qualifications. It's more so, like, I understand how you're feeling. I understand your struggles with this, you know, there's been some people that I've worked with that have gone through similar situations, and this is like the end result of how that looks after working with us. Mm-hmm. So it's more about them. It's not as much about yourself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think that's incredible, because a lot of times, or most people, most business owners don't, their natural thing is to tell them about themselves and why they should hire them.
Humans are very good at talk. We're very good at talking about ourselves. Yeah. Insanely good. And we love talking about ourselves. And so that's kind of like a shift in the structure of how you think to like actually successfully market nowadays.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's understandable. You know, everybody is an expert at themselves, so it's easy to talk about things that you know the most, you know, so it's just something that a lot of people default to.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it too is socially driven too. If you look at like Instagram and all these socials, like you're only seeing a lot of people's highlight reel. I mean, you're seeing the kid mm-hmm. that saw the Lamborghini across the street and went and took a picture with it, and now it's on his Instagram page. So now these people are thinking this kid has a Lamborghini, you know. So back to his point, what you want to do is you want to tell stories that include bad, that include where people were at before and after. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same in personal branding. You want to be vulnerable. You want to talk about the times that sucked. You want to talk about the times where you were struggling, because that's what people are going to resonate with. Because nobody lives the perfect life that people assume on social media. Mm-hmm. So when you're vulnerable and you have the courage to put out content that is, you know, basically emphasizing on these bad things or the struggles that you're going through, the consumer that's also struggling is going to relate to you the most. You know, like back to his point, the chiropractor puts out some stuff about his struggles in the past, or maybe his struggles with pain, or the consumer struggle with pain. Whoever's reading that or seeing that is going to resonate with that way more so than I'm heavily educated, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And, yeah. You know, for a lot of people, you know, what I think was great about our conversation today is that people, business owners, are always getting hit up about this marketing technique or this marketing technique, and there's so much confusion. I think that people mm-hmm. are getting flooded with information. Mm-hmm. It's good to kind of break it down and say, okay, here are some of the basics. Yeah. Whether you're doing a lead generation or you're doing starting your own podcast, whatever it is, here are some of the basic things that you should start with.
Definitely.
As far as when you go in that. So I think that's super helpful. Now, I really appreciate you guys coming on the podcast. Is there any, you know, kind of last final words you want to talk about or anything like that, as well as share some information about how people can reach out to you, how people can find some of the information or content that you guys are putting up online?
So last piece I would say was kind of just like based on like your last point, you know, there's a lot of confusion. There's a ton of confusion in the market. I mean, even him and I are flooded. I mean, we get hit with marketing ads all the time because we literally have marketing in our title, you know, so there's a lot of confusion out there. But what it really comes down to for me is just being human. Like, what are you resonating with as a human? And that's always going to be emotion. It's always going to be other people, and it's always going to be have empathy for everyone. So as long as you like really dumb the stuff down and realize like what, figure out your consumer, figuring out what emotional traits are going to attract them to you and in your business, and that's going to allow you to market in a way that's going to basically get them in front of you. Mm-hmm. So that, I guess, would be my final thought. It's like, don't let all the confusion. There's no 5 secrets to success. It's consistency. It's being a good person. It's being human. And it's just, you know, taking action in the areas that are going to most affect your business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, one big thing would be just when you're putting out content, put it out more so to target people's emotions than it is to target their problems. You know, they're experiencing a problem, but they feel frustrated. They feel lost. They feel stuck because of that problem. Target those emotions more so than just the problem itself, and you'll see a lot more, you'll get a lot more reaction out of people that way.
Got to talk from the heart, not from the brain. A lot, the thing that can help a lot with that is the 5 whys. I've realized too, is like, you ask yourself why you're doing something once, you'll talk from the brain. You ask yourself why you're doing that again, so I'll say, why are we having this podcast? Because we wanted to get to know each other. And then, why do we want to get to know each other? Because we saw an opportunity to connect. You know, so if you ask yourself these whys, you move from the brain into your heart. And that can actually start to tell you why you're doing something, and that'll bring out a lot more emotion in the way you communicate about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
If someone wants to reach out to you guys, where can they find you? Where can they look at some of the content that you guys have been creating?
Yeah, so you can follow us both on like social medias. We can probably provide some links to you for social media that you could link out maybe in like the bio of like your podcast. It's just Jeff VK on LinkedIn, Nick Urso on LinkedIn. And then if you want to check us out on our website, it's just uvkmedia.com.
and then we'll link that out as well. And then that way anyone can kind of stumble upon us. And if they have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to Nick or I. We can provide some emails in there as well. And then we'd be happy to answer any questions that anyone might have moving forward.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I'll provide all that stuff in the show notes. And again, thank you guys for jumping on. I think this is great information.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I appreciate you having us,
Mike.
Yeah,
appreciate you having us.
Thanks, guys. Now, one last thing before I go. We created a Facebook group called Building a Successful Law Firm to take what you learn here and dive even deeper. This Facebook group is a place where we share tons of value for free, and you also have the opportunity to bring up situations you are faced with and collaborate not only with our team, but with other firm owners as well. Simply go to Facebook and search for the Building a Successful Law Firm group. Again, it's Building a Successful Law Firm group. I'll see you in there.
This has been another episode of the Law Firm Accounting and Tax Podcast from the team at Jetro. If you enjoy our weekly episodes, please leave a review on whatever platform you listen to us on and share with other law firm owners. If you have any questions or future topics you want to hear, email them to tax@jetrotax.com. Thanks for listening and have a great day.